This meeting is now being recorded.
Dear brothers and sisters, masters have been coming from time to time to guide the child humanity back to their homes. We were sometime in the lap of God in our true home, ever since we are separated from there. We have forgotten our home altogether. So masters come to tell us that there is a God who has made all this creation, who is immanent in every form and controlling all creation. We are his children. We are of the same essence as that of God. We should love him. As he is immanent in every form, he lies in every heart, we should love them too. If we love God, naturally when he resides in every heart, we should love everybody. So whenever they come, they bring the religion of love. All masters who came from time to time, they gave out the same thing in their own language, of course. Kabir says, love God, who is the controller of all. Tenth Guru says, addressing to all communities of the world, hear ye all, I tell you the truth, God is love. We are of the same essence as that of God. Love is innate in our souls. And the way back to God is also through love. So they bring the religion of love. That is what Bible also says. Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. All Persian philosophers everywhere you'll find the same truth. All scriptures which are with us, they have the sayings of those masters who came to the world and place before us all that we should love God, and as God has created all creation, man, animals, birds, reptiles, they are the lower members of the family of God. But we say that we have not seen him, how can we love now? So, along with this, tell us that you got the man body. God made man with equal privilege from God. Born the same way, outer construction the same, two hands, 2 feet, 2 eyes, 2 ears, inner construction also the same. Man has got lungs, stomach, everyday morning, municipality takes out filth from the body. But you are not the body, you have the body. You are conscious entities as of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness. And you are conscious entities. You are living this man body. Body works so long as you are in the body. And wonderful it is, this man body which you are carrying has so many apertures of 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth and 2 underneath. With all that we cannot run away out of it. So we are controlled in the body by some power which is called God intuition power. That power controls all universe also. That is called by different things, by different name. Nama it is called. World it is called. Shabd it is called. So Kalma it is called. So God absolute cannot be seen. Nobody has seen God at any time, the absolute God. But the God which when came into expression, he was one and wished to be many. That power which came into expression, that is called God into expression. Power called by different saints, by different names. That is the power that controlling the whole universe, also controlling us in the body. So our body works so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body so long that power controls us in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. Man body is considered to be the highest in all creation. It is considered next to God. Mohammedan scriptures tell us when God made man body and chose his life into it, he ordered the angels to bow down to the man body. Rishi Prashant that also says the same thing, that the rishis, the souls of the rishis, after enjoying the higher bliss of different planes, when they returned, they selected the man body to enter. So man body is a golden opportunity in which we can know God and no other body. So that is why all scriptures tell so very highly about man body, and we are fortunate we have got the man body. This man body is given to us as a golden opportunity, but it is not to last long. It is not our home. As also the whole world in which we are here, that is not our own home. Man body is made up of matter, and matter is changing every moment of life. The world around us also is made of matter and changing at the same speed at which our body is changing. But we are conscious entities, souls, under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties. And outgoing faculties are attracted like anything by the outer enjoyment. So we have identified with the outgoing faculties, body and outside world, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We are, as it were, under a grand delusion. The delusion comes up only because we have forgotten ourselves. It is you who is living the body. And so long we are in the body in which we can know God. But it is soul that has to know God. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, nor mind, nor intellect. With the intellect we try to understand what is what. So our masters who came in the past tell us man know thyself. Old Greek philosophers said the same thing in their own language, of course, Genoti Theoton. Old Latins had the same to say in their own language, of course, Nasi Tipsum. Persian philosophers also say the same thing. The ultimate end of all knowledge is to know God and to know yourself. If we have known so much all about other things and not known about our own self, then they give a very, then you are ignorant. So we have got a man body. Fortunately, in this man body alone we can know God. Those who solve the mystery of life, masters, they say, well, look, you are a man, you are a conscious entity. You are of the same essence as that of God. You are in mind, in body. You are in mind, in matter. The body, of course, is a very golden opportunity which you have got it, but you have identified with it so much so that you have forgotten also. To bring home this thing, we can understand from it. Fact, a boat is going down the stream and got 4, 5, 6 people rowing in the boat. The speed of the boat is the same as that of the river, and those who are identified with the boat also rowing down at the same speed that the boat is going. A man outside on the calls out, dear friends, you are going down the stream. Those who are in the boat, they look to the water around them and the boat, they say, well, we are standing, we are stationing, who says we are going? Why this delusion? Because we are identified with the boat, which is going at the same speed as of the water. So when two things are changing at the same speed, they appear to be stationary. This is a grand delusion in which all of us, both learned and the unlearned, both are undergoing. To know ourselves, then we will have to know how to know ourselves. We do generally know at the level of feelings or drawing inferences. They are both subject to error. Seeing is above all. I say, Father, this is my spectacle, I have put it down. This is my watch, I have put it down. This is my handkerchief. I say, it is my body. It is my outgoing faculty. It is my intellect, my mind. Can we put it off? So knowing oneself is a matter of pure self-analysis. Rising above body consciousness, then you know you are the one who was living in the own body, just a bulb in the room, and living the whole room, seeing that your bulb of the soul is at the back of the eyes. From there you are living the whole man body. And you are controlled in the body, and man body alone you can know that controlling power called God into expression power. Both you and whom you have to meet, both reside in the man body. So man body is the true temple of God. Pity it is that the one who has to know him is tossing about outside. So there are 10 doors in the body. 9 are apparent, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth, 2 underneath, and 10th is latent. That is at the back of the eyes, from where the soul is withdrawn and transcends into the beyond, to the portal of death, what you call it. For knowing oneself practically, you can have a defeat or some adept in this spiritual way. He will give you a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. Nine doors lead to the sense world, and the tenth door from the physical body into the beyond. That is why all masters said, look here, know thyself. But knowing oneself practically is a matter of pure self-analysis, as I submitted. Can we have the defeat of somebody who does rise above body conscience from day to day? That is really pleasure. So long we are in the body, it is something like that. A parable goes, a man was praying God, thanking him. People asked him, why are you thanking God? He said, last night, thief came here and took away my heart. Then they asked him, what is there matter for thanking, because you lost the heart? He says, I am thanking God that I was not riding on the heart, otherwise I would also been stolen away. It's a matter of smiling, of course. But he was very wise, he saved the rider and let the horse go. And what we have done? We had the horse, we are riding, and the rider is forgotten. So man know oneself is to mean to know by practical self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness. When he knows that, then he sees some power is controlling the body. So Master tells us, there is a God. We can also see him, the God in creation power, of course, when we rise above body consciousness, when we rise into the tenth door, when we rise above the life of senses. A great atheist was at the deathbed. He had in his room a motto written, God is nowhere. A child came up, he was reading G.O.D. God, I.S.I.S., N.O.W. now, H.E.R.E. here, God is now here. And the deathbed man, atheist said, yes. Child, I see, there's some power, all right. So we can know, Master do tell us, there is a God, as I don't know. They bear testimony to it. And they say, you can also have a contact with him when your inner eye opens. Or at the time of death, when you withdraw from all outside, leave the nine doors of the body, and return to the back of the eyes, when your eyes are upturned, then you see that some higher power is controlling us. So he is the life of our own, very life. They come to tell us there is a God whom we should love. We are his children, and at the same time we are all brothers and sisters. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God. As such, all brothers and sisters. So as man, I told you, we are all one with the same privilege from God, no high, no low. As soul being of the same essence as that of God, we are his children. We are all brothers and sisters in God. And they tell us, love God. God resides in every heart, so whom we worship is also the same called by so many names. So unity already exists as man, as soul, whom we worship. The unity already exists. we have forgotten. Master come and they give us a demonstration of that there is a God. They ask him, have you seen God? They say, yes. Guru Nanak was asked, is there a God? He says, yes, he is apparent everywhere. Christ said, behold the Lord. Similar Kabir said, my all delusion is God. When I rose above body consciousness and had a glimpse of God, into expression power, they bear testimony that we have seen God where? In this very mad body. Why do we not see? Because it says mind stands between you and God. Our soul is under the control of mind. Mind is in the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are engaged or absorbed into the enjoyments outside. Enjoyments outside drag like anything all outgoing faculties. So we are under a grand delusion. Now to know God, unless we know ourselves by rising above body consciousness, or a return to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. So Master tell us, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. This is a matter of pure self-analysis. Knowing oneself by rising above body consciousness, and when we know ourselves, we see that controlling power is over it. We are mere puppets in his hands. So masters come to remind. Scientists do tell us this body and the outer world is changing as a result of matter, etc. There is no other power which controls it. Ultimately, they came to the decision, this is all well planned. There is some power which is controlling it, and that is a conscious power. Everything goes at stated hours, sunrise at stated hours. All systems, seasons come and go according to the system. So this is the first thing that the masters tell us, that there is a God. Those we can see, they say we can see. Only the point is if we rise above body consciousness. And now we are identified with it, so much as that we have forgotten. So masters, what do they say? They say, please, this man body is a place where you can manifest God. All other masters also say, it is a place where God lives. Our Quran or the Muhammadan literature tells us that God says, I am the hidden treasure within you, why don't you have it? Guru Nanak also says, the treasure of divinity is within you. You can dig it up, delve into it and dig it up, if you but listen to the word of the Master. Those who see, they can also give it the demonstrations, others to see. How? By rising above body consciousness. What do they tell us? Oh soul, this body and this world is not your home. Your conscious entity, your true home is the true home of your father, who is all conscious. God does send masters from time to time to bring us back home. This world is, all are unhappy. So they say, well, look here, look to yourself, you are a conscious entity, the opposition of consciousness. This man body is a golden opportunity which has been afforded to you to know yourself and know the over God, all, which is controlling you in the body. So your true home is not physical body, your true home is the true home of a father, which is of our consciousness. Now, if this is a mystery that has to be solved while in the man body, so all masters tell us we should arise above it. So there are different ways of telling. Amongst the Hindus, they say you must be twice born. One birth in this body and the second birth into the beyond. In the old days, 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children were made twice born and were given Gayatri Mantra. Nowadays also that custom prevails amongst the Hindus. Children are made twice born and they are given the same Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra, what does it say? Rise above body consciousness. Just accept the rays of the sun coming to you and be one with the sun within you. O God, direct our souls to you. This is the Gayatri Mantra. So in the old days, 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children were made twice born and given this mantra. All the same, at the same time, they were given demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness and see the light of God. When he wanted absolute one to be many, when he came into being, there was vibration. Vibration results in two things, light and sound. God is light and God is nada. Music of the spheres. God is Noor, Muhammad says. God is Noor in Kalam-e Kadeem. Similar all other masters will say, as a Jyoti Maharaj and Shruti Maharaj. So first thing, you can know yourself only when you rise above body consciousness. You'll see that your enlightening this body. Take the example of a factory run by powerhouse. The staffs of the powerhouse are connected with the different departments of the factory, whichever department you want to close, you take off the step, that particular step from that department. If you want to close the whole family, then our main step is taken off. So factory of the man body is run by us. See? Now there are departments working in the man factory. There are department of the sight, seeing. The department of the hearing, the department of the outgoing faculty called taste. So there's the department of the nose, eyes, smell, and other contact, attachment. So 5 departments are working under the control of the man body, in the man body run by us. You know the outer expression of soul, what it is called attention. You must have experienced such like things in your life. When you're sitting absorbed in some thought, somebody calls you once, twice, thrice, you do not hear. He comes up to you and tells us, look here, I've called you so many times, why don't you hear? He says, my thought was absorbed. My attention was not with the ears. I think you must have experienced like that mention. Sometimes you are absorbed in thought to take your food, you don't think if it's sweet or what. When you want to have an injection, what do? You just, as you divert your attention at once, they say, all right, now inject. Pain is felt, but less. So, this outgoing faculties get strength from us. But the whole thing is topsy-turvy now. Mind, intellect, outgoing faculties take strength from us and able to enjoy outside. But the fact remains that outward enjoyments drag our outgoing faculty like anything, and outgoing faculty are dragging the mind. Mind is dragging the soul. The whole thing has touched each other. Masters come. They teach us how to control the five outgoing faculties. They give you a boost, a demonstration of self-analysis, how to rise above the outgoing faculties to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eye. I told you just now, the Saint Plutarch tells us that those who are initiated into the seat of the beyond, they have the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. So these outgoing faculties, enjoyments, are had by the outgoing faculties. And outgoing faculties anywhere up till here. Eyes, ears, nose, mouth, everything. The seat of the soul is at the back of the ear. They say, well, direct your attention to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. When you rise above there you see the expression of God, indication of God, some glimpse of God. And that glimpse is light of God and nada, are the music of the sphere. That is the more bliss. When you get that bliss, naturally you all these five decades, you might say, of sight, hearing, taste, smell, they assail you, attack you through the outgoing faculty.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you were just hearing was from September 14, 1972. That was in Eastbourne in England. Today, the reader is Joanna Swanson. Are you there, Joanna?
I am. Good morning to all my very dear brothers and sisters. Forgive me, I am hoarse due to pollen allergy. I'm reading today from Master's pamphlet called Spirituality, the Only Answer, which was originally published in Sat Sandesh in May of 1970. The true master's soul is charged with God. They all have their own way of remembering God's name. Whenever Guru Nanak used to say Sat Katar, the ever-existent maker, he would get intoxicated through repeating those words. Anyone who heard him would also get a little of that intoxication by absorbing the radiation surrounding him. There was a master called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his words were Hari Bol, glorify God. One day he met a group of men washing clothes, so he stood beside one of them and said, Hari Bol. Every person sees others from his own level, and the washerman thought he was a beggar, so he ignored him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeated it once, twice, a number of times, and the washerman replied sharply, I am not going to say it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put all his attention on him and said, you must say it. Even one glance of a master is enough to uplift the soul because it reaches the very depths. So the washerman thought, oh, well, he's very insistent. I will say it. and he repeated the words, Haribo. Immediately, he became so intoxicated, he started dancing while repeating, Haribo, Haribo. The other men wondered what had happened, drew around him, asking, what's the matter with you? He said, Haribo. Now, whoever said Haribo got intoxicated and began dancing. So in the end, the place was full of people dancing with joy, all repeating, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Even if one were to read the world's complete stock of religious literature, one would not get one drop of the intoxication given by a perfect master. That intoxication is such that all other kinds are overpowered by it. Shamas Tabriz says, O wine giver, master, give me that wine which is God's own intoxicant that my soul may get peace. O wine giver, give me that wine which cannot be got from heaven. Baha'i Nand Lal has expressed the same thing and said, if I drank 2,000 pitchers of pure wine, it would not give me the intoxication I would receive from one sip of thine own intoxicant, O Master. One is to fully understand that there is no worldly state which can compare to the spiritual bliss of the holy Nam. Again, Shamas Tabriz says, I have the wine with which I can intoxicate myself and the whole world. For if in my blissful state I raise but one word, all mankind would become intoxicated. However, God's laws are such that his power is never so openly revealed in this manner. So how can this great blessing be available to man? Through words you cannot reach it, but only by seeing. Bik Sahib said, he who knows will not speak of it. He who says he speaks of him surely knows nothing. So this science cannot be explained in words. It is a science of perception through seeing. Maulana Rumi Sahib says, if I want to, I can turn all atheists into believers. This is the grand purpose for which the masters come to the world. He even said this much, if I die and you make my body into manure and scatter it upon the land and make bread from the wheat grown there, not only the baker who bakes the bread, but the server of the bread will also become intoxicated. Even the heat of the oven will vibrate with bliss. So one can well imagine the condition of those who would eat the bread. The gurus show us the straight road, not through yogic paths, but by direct contact with God. All types of yoga have their own scope, but Surat Yoga can be taught to everyone. Guru Amar Das Ji got this wealth after 70 years of searching. He then said, if you have good karmas, God brings you to the Satguru who gives you the selfless service of Surat Shabd. He gives you the opportunity of doing the highest selfless service through connecting your Surat attention directly to God. Philosophy deals with theory. Mysticism deals with reality. Direct contact with God. A true master will connect even a small child to the light and sound within, which are the God into expression power. This is the path of light and sound, which takes one directly to the formless and nameless region. It is no hypothesis. It is not a middle way, but is through a direct contact. My master was a great giant in this Surat Yoga. It is a science that has been brought down through past gurus, starting with Kabir Sahib and through various others until it came to Tulsi Sahib, then came Swamiji, Baba Jamal Singhji, and then Hazur, my master. Today, all that you are now getting is through his blessing. Now, regarding Dhyan, visualizing a form, whose Dhyan should we do? How can we visualize God whom we have not seen? Truly speaking, to visualize anything is dangerous. If the Master is perfect and you have seen him, it's all right, but God forbid, say he is not perfect. If you visualize him, you will become like him. 15 days after my initiation, I went to my master and asked, Maharaj, if one has learned to withdraw from outside, but inside one does not get anything, what should one do? Very serenely he replied, Brother, we go on visualizing our children, friends, even donkeys sometimes. Is it a very bad thing to visualize a sadhu? God himself took the physical form of a sadhu, master. After a few days, I again asked my master regarding visualizing, what are your orders? And he said, when a guru initiates a disciple, he takes his abode within him. To visualize him or not will make no difference. Simply rise within. You will find him through light. Guru is not a mere man. He is God in man. When he initiates someone, he sits inside him and does not leave until he has taken him to the true home. He will never leave. One is but required to invert inside. When you join the master inside, you will be able to perceive all things from beginning to eternity. Guru Arjan Sahib says, when the Guru Dev makes the light apparent through the inner eye, all illusion disappears. If the radiant form of the master appears inside, half of bhakti, devotion to the Guru, has been achieved. It is not necessary to visualize. It is helpful to pray to him, O Lord, wherever you are, appear to me. And most definitely, he'll answer if the prayer is sincere. He has appeared to sincere people who have never seen or heard of him. History has shown, and even recent incidents have proved, that prayer is answered. There was a case of a man who used to see the form of the master inside, and when he was in San Francisco in 1955, by chance he saw me and recognized the same form. So we joined the satsang that was being held there. In different parts of the world, even in Pakistan, people had seen the form of the master many years before initiation, before knowing anything about him. I myself used to see my master 7 years before I met him physically. The devotee should have a sincere prayer in the heart. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. During my early search for God, I knew that without a guru, there'd be no salvation. But I was unconvinced by the mere words of the gurus I met. I started praying to God, saying, Oh, Lord, there is no doubt thou art there, but please guide me to wherever thou has manifested thyself. So 7 years before meeting my master, I started seeing his form inside. I did not know who he was and thought he was Guru Nanak. I wrote many poems of my experience. I have always been a lover of rivers, and whatever town I happened to be in, I would find the nearest river and spend many hours there, mostly at night. When I was in Lahore, I once had the desire to visit the River Bias. So one Sunday morning, I left my house and arrived in due course at Bias Station. I approached the station master there. I was wearing the same type of clothes I wear today. and I asked him to direct me to the river. He said, "Have you come to see the saint?" I replied, "Does a saint live here too?" He answered, "Yes, at the edge of the river." I told him I'd be happy to see the saint and the river also, and made my way to the Dira. Now, in those days, there were no restrictions for those who wished to see the master. No walls around, no guards. So I walked straight in. Hazur was taking his meal, but when he came out, I was astonished to find the same form I had been seeing within for so many years. I asked him, "Maharaj, why this delay in meeting thee?" The purpose of relating these happenings is to help you to realize that if a master is true and competent, he can appear to the seeker at any time. Once you are initiated, you will progress within and see the master within you face to face to talk to you and guide you further. During the last days of Maulana Rumi's life on earth, he unfolded many facts. He once said, "Oh, brothers, what do you people know? What a great emperor resides in me. Do not look at this image made of matter, but see the emperor inside. If the disciple becomes like that, a guru man, his work has been accomplished." I have talked principally of two things. First, everyone should sit together in remembrance of God, which is the answer to all the world's problems. The second thing is, I have told of that which the masters give that cannot be obtained anywhere else. So when you meet a true guru, do not look at his body alone, but absorb the benefit of the radiation which emanates from him. Maulana Rumi said to his guru, Shams Tabriz, "If I do not see God in the mirror of your countenance, O Master, then I am the worst of unbelievers." Do not think of the guru as a man. He is God in man. To be near him is to be near God, and to be far from him is to be far from God. Only God can bring you unto himself. And so his beloveds tell their own stories. Bahai Nand Lal, a great guru muk, referring to a couplet of Hafiz Sahib, saying, "If one wishes to realize God, what should one do? Should one leave all hearth and home?" gave a beautiful answer. To leave the world and go away? A perfect master will never advise that. When you meet a true master who has achieved perfection, he will give you a perfect way to follow that, when followed, will give you salvation while living in the world in a normal way. God is in front of you. See him through the eyes. What is there in the forest? Guru Ram Dass also says, "God manifested in the body is now called Ram Dass." Those disciples who regard the guru as only a man are not true disciples, but are actually just on probation. When the guru appears within the disciple, he sees the past and the future. Here it is guru from a physical level. Ahead of this, it is guru dev, and farther still, it is sat guru. As an example of a guru bhakt, a true devotee of a guru, I am especially remembering Bhai Nand Lal Ji today. He says, "Just to see thy face again, I once more took the physical form. Thy face draws my heart out with its beauty. Just to see that reflection of God, I came again to this world. Otherwise, what reason was there to come?" These are the words of a true devotee. He says again, "Because of the desire to be thy devotee once again, I took this physical form. Otherwise, what is there in this world for me? I have no interest in it. Those years of the best of my life that are spent in remembrance of thee. Otherwise, what was the use of my coming beneath this blue sky? What is there in the world for me? O Satguru, when I forget thee, those moments are like death." A true disciple's life is the remembrance of the guru, just as the baby's life is in the mother's milk. He should drink the guru's milk, the water of life, the blood of life, and the guru will look after him. What does a small child know? He plays in the dirt and filth, and his mother picks him up and washes him clean. If he sleeps with his mother, he may wet the bed, but the mother will sleep on the wet part and put the child on her breast to sleep undisturbed. The child does not know how much the mother is doing for him. Forgive me, but we do not know our guru. We know only that which he wants us to know of him. It is something like a child saying, "Oh, mother, I know you." What can a child know of his mother? Only a master can know a master. One saint has said, "I would sacrifice my heart, my life, for the earth on which these pure souls step." What do these people give? The holy wine pours out from their eyes. Remember that from life you get life. Even though one may read the whole world's holy scriptures, unless one has met that personality with life in him, one would achieve nothing. Spirituality cannot be taught. It can be caught. This is the scientific method that was revealed to me through the blessing of my guru. He taught this age-old science of spirituality. All Mahatmas, great souls, did awaken the souls, but revealed the science only to a few. Through my master's blessing, this revelation is being given to all. That power never dies. The physical form merely changes from one to another. When I gave initiation, nearly 200 people saw the form of the master inside. It is no acting and posing, but actual fact. We should all work hard and become worthy sons and daughters of the Father. With one thought, God created all creation. Soul is also a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. Can we not, when fully withdrawn from outside, even create one small town? The ocean of all intoxication is overflowing in the masters. They are intoxicated without drinking anything. Mirabai, a great saint, once said, "Without drinking anything, I am perpetually intoxicated." Without eating, they are satisfied. In the Gurbani is written, "Without getting the nam, the mind with getting the nam, the mind is satisfied." The masters are like emperors hidden in disguise. They are a green, shadowy tree in a hot, arid desert. And if through great good fortune such a personality comes into your life whose soul has that intoxication, remember that the eyes are the windows of the soul. He will give you whatever color his own soul is dyed in. The masters are not the monopoly of anyone. They come for anyone, not for any one group of humanity or another. They give knowledge which is beyond the senses, an ocean of intoxication, a mighty effulgence of bliss. This bliss is within each human being, but has been suppressed by the mind and senses and is therefore not enjoyed. The masters give a way up by dragging the attention upward. They are in control of their attention, whereas we are not, for our attention is given out to worldly affairs and has become very weak. The sun's rays cannot burn us, but if these rays are passed through a convex lens, they can burn any object upon which they fall. Similarly, we should control our outgoing faculties and concentrate our attention within us. Through the attention, the senses get strength, as indeed does the mind and the intellect. But if it were to be detached from these, controlled and concentrated, and become the mouthpiece of the greater attention, what a wonderful achievement that would be. This is the end of the reading for today. And in conclusion, I would just like to say thank you, Master, for bringing all of our brothers and sisters together to hear your holy word. Thank you for taking us as your children, for your guidance, for your protection, for your help. Help us to walk your path of love and devotion. Amen.
Thank you, Joanna, for the reading. Today we had 89 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.